So, welcome everybody this morning. It's a great morning to be alive. And hopefully you've realized that this is also the 8th of the 8th. This is the number 8 is the number that's is usually referred to in new beginnings. So we're looking at a new beginning here today, the 8th of the 8th, 2021. And so part of the message this morning is going to be looking into that. But this morning, first of all, let me welcome you, all those that are online on Facebook Live and those that are here this morning. It's great to have you here. It's great to have you on board. It's going to be an amazing morning. This is a word of the Lord. And so we want to declare the word of the Lord this morning because his word releases truth, brings hope, and sets us free. So first of all, this morning, I want to give a word for Ireland. And the Lord says, Ireland, 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 I have not forgotten you, nor have I passed you by. In fact, what I do is I surround you like the waters surround you, and I rise from the waters, and I move with the waters, and I come into the center, and then the center from all sides will meet, and there will be like a holy eruption that will rise up out of the ground, and it will cause a spray that will cover the whole of the Irish land, and the land will be changed, the land will be purified, and even as Cork has been known as Cork, Cork will no longer be known as Cork, because it will be an uncorked place, a place of visitation from the Lord. Not only will Loch Ney be called Loch Ney anymore, but it will be known not as Ney, but as Yea, because the Lord and the glory of the Lord is coming upon the land of Ireland. He has not passed you by. He has not closed his eyes to what has happened, but he is coming, and he is coming in the whirlwind. He is coming in the thunder. He is coming in the lightnings, and he is coming in the darkness, because in the darkness is where the light will shine the brightest. And the Lord is saying that Ireland, 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 get ready, get ready, get ready, because in this season that is now upon you, it's not behind you, it's not in front of you, but this is a now season that you are stepping into as the church, as the bride of Christ, because salvation will flow like a river from the north to the south, from the south to the north, and it will meet in the middle, and there'll be this just this explosion in the middle that will spray out over the rest of the land. And I hear that the Lord says that now again will the bells of Kells be heard ringing out again across the land, calling people to come, because revival is in the heart of the Lord for the land of Ireland. No longer will Belfast be called Belfast, because a fast is something that's whole stuck, but it is a time when the bells of Belfast will ring. It's a bell ring. It's a bell ring. It's a bell ring. The sound of Ireland will actually be heard across the nations of the world, and many will come to your shores because of what the Lord is about to outpour upon the people of Ireland, north and south. There is no divide in my kingdom, but I see you as a one nation. I see you as a people that has been blessed in the past. I see you as a people that has moved and has gone to the nations because of the call and because you said yes to me in the past. And this season is now having a revisitation, and it will be greater than the revival of the 1859, because the Lord says that he does a new thing. It is a new thing that is coming upon the land of Ireland, and he is about to pour out favor upon you guys. Favor, favor, favor. And this new season is it's not about to start. It has started. So we bless Ireland in the name of Jesus Christ today. We bless you, Lord, for the word. We bless you, Lord, for the glory that will fill this land from the south to the north and from the north to the south, east to west, that you surround it like the waters of the sea. And out of the sea will come the provision that is being required for this season that they're now in. So we bless them, Lord. We bless them with an excitement and with a passion of a holy fire that comes all over the nation of Ireland. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So bless you guys over in Ireland. If you've got your phones with you today, then remember that this is online on the Facebook page of Father's House. So you can find it on there. Share it to your page. And let's keep the algorithms up today. Comment on it. Let us know where you're viewing from, where you're tuning in from. And comment on here, because every comment keeps us up in the eyes of people, not just here in the UK, but across the nations of the world. Amen. God's got a plan and a purpose, and you are part of that purpose. Amen. You are part of the new day. This is a new day, the 8th of the 8th, 2021. Mark it in your diary, because I sense that this is a time when the Lord is revisiting and resetting in place his statutes, his words, and his words never go without being filled up. Or, you know, what I'm saying is they don't become void. He always accomplishes that which he desires for us in Jesus' name. All right, let me bring my notes up here. So, in John 4:34, I'm speaking today on a season of fish, because I believe that the Lord has required this of me today, just to express what is in the Word, his Word, and what truth is there, and what we can bring to life today, what we can initiate, set in place, and walk upon as a statute, something that you know is a definite, something that you know is a sure thing, because the Lord God Almighty has spoken it. And in John chapter 4 and verse 34, if you got your Bibles with you today, then open them up and let's read this. We'll look at several scriptures this morning, but I want to start initially with a couple of scriptures, and the first one being John chapter 4 and verse 34. Listen to this. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, this is the same Jesus in Matthew 4:4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the Father's mouth. So he is declaring here that his meat, his food, his sustenance is to do the will of him who sent him and to finish and accomplish the work and the task that the Father set for his Son to do on earth. Amen. And how many know today that that work is not complete? That work's not finished, because it's an ongoing process. And he said that he will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. There is still so much to be done. There is still room at Father's house. There's room at his table. And this morning, it's a time for the season to fish. And it's a permission time where the Lord says, go, get some fish, bring them to me. So we want to look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. This is the God we're looking at this morning. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within who? Within us. And verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. To all generations. Who is in an all generation state? We are. So this applies to us still today as it did then. And so to him that is able to do far more abundantly than we can think of or we can ask of, that's who we are involved with. That's who you give your yes to when you said yes to Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Master of the universe, the Creator of all things. And he's able to do far more abundantly than what we can even think about. So even in our wildest thoughts, God can take us to another level that actually blows our socks off, and we are so infatuated with the God of love that actually we said yes to. So there is more. God does not give without having the more at his fingertips to pass on to you and to pass on to me. Amen? So this morning specifically, we're going to look at John chapter 21, and I'm just going to ask Victor, I'm going to bring Victor on here, and Victor's going to read the scripture this morning as well as we move forward. Thank you, Victor.
Okay, John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. Simon said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, "Do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now because of the quantity of fish, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew who it was, the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen.
Thank you, Victor. Thus saith the word of the Lord. It's been spoken out. It's been read. It has been declared. You know, and at the verse 1 there in John 21, it speaks about the Sea of Tiberias. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is actually known as Galilee, the Lake of Galilee. And so it takes me back to the actual instance where the angels spoke to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. And in Matthew 28 and verse 7, this is not a coincidence. This is of the Lord. In Matthew 28, verse 7, when that encounter happened, this is what it says. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So Mary Magdalene obviously went and told the disciples that Jesus is going to turn up at Galilee, and he's telling you to go and to meet him there. So this is like the background or the backdrop to this particular incident. It's not the first time that Jesus has turned up, and the fisher, you know, the first time was in Luke, when he actually was in the boat with them and they caught this huge haul of fish. But their nets were, it was so big, their nets were starting to break. But in this occasion, Jesus turns up, and they, you know, it's like he turned up to fulfill his promise to them that he had spoken, said, "If you go to Galilee, I'll meet you at Galilee." And Jesus never goes back on his word, because the Father never goes back upon his word. So remember what Jesus has spoken over your life. Do not let it drift into the background, but bring it back and bring it out in front of you and remember it, because when the Lord speaks, he has an intention behind it. He doesn't speak a nice fluffy word that actually makes you think, "Oh, that's great. I've got goosebumps." No, he speaks because he wants you to hear. He speaks with an intentionality that calls you to a deeper place with him, and to walk with him and to be in his presence. You know, and in verse 3, in chapter 21, it's, you know, Simon the impetuous one. I just call him, he's just such a, "Let's go get this, let's get it done." He is so passionate, so excited about what God is doing. So Simon Peter says to the rest of them, "Come on, I'm going fishing." And they all say, "Yeah, let's go, let's do it. Let's get out there and let's fish." So they go for the whole night, fish, fish, fish. You know, in those days, the fishing boats put torches. They had torches alight on the boat that would help attract or help them to see the fish so that they could actually do it and do it with effectiveness. These guys knew what it was to do fishing. They were fishermen who had been called by Jesus into a different pathway. But once they had seen the Lord leave them, they actually dropped back into the old patterns of, "Come on, let's go fishing, guys. It's what we know. It's what we can do." And so Peter leads them all out overnight, and they fish and they fish, but they catch nothing. Now, in verse 4, this is key. Verse 4, it says, at dawn. What does dawn represent? It's the dawn of a new day. It's the dawn of a new beginning. It's a shift that's happening, and it's a shift that's about to encounter them and take them back or bring them back on track to help them refocus to the commission that was placed upon them in Luke. And the Lord comes again to the shores of Galilee to actually call back his disciples. He fulfilled his promised word. And sometimes in life, we get so weighed down with the things that we cannot see or the length of time in which it takes it to get to where we see it, and we get disheartened, we get discouraged, and the Lord says to you very clearly this morning, stop it. Stop focusing on what you don't see and believe at what I have spoken. Believe that it's going to come to pass and believe that you will operate in it, see it, and be a part of it in Jesus' name. Your season is not over. Your season is not dead in the water because the Lord has spoken a promise over you. So you need to dust that promise off, stand into it, pray into it, and get into it, and believe God that when he spoke, he had a purpose and a design behind the word that he chose to speak to you. So it's not dead in the water. Don't give up. Don't lay it aside and don't think, well, it's been so long, I'm getting older now, and I can't see it happening. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that God's not working his purposes and his plans into your life at this season, and he's waiting for you to step up into and start declaring once more again, this was the word of the Lord. I heard it. The prophet spoke it over me. I read it in the word of God. I know what I know what I know. I know how my heart leapt, how my heart leapt as the word came out of the pages of the word of God, and it made me excited. I was filled with joy. And so the Lord says to you this morning, do not forget that season. Bring it back to remembrance. Stir up the gifts that are within you, it says, by the laying on of hands. So the laying on of hands, the word of the Lord, and a prophetic word is given to you by God to instruct you, to teach you, to equip you and prepare you, but to give you hope in the season that you've been walking through to begin to rise up into where it is you're actually going. Where it is he spoke over you? Where it is he is leading you by the spirit that's alive inside of you? Amen. So verse 4, verse words, then at dawn. Come on, folks. This is an at dawn day. It's the 8th of the 8th. It's a new beginning. And we're declaring it and we're speaking it from the word of God today. Jesus stood on the beach. They said they didn't recognize him. And yet it says later that this was the third time that the Lord Jesus had appeared to him when he had resurrected out from being dead. So this is a significant key time. He spoke it in Matthew, and he warned them that he was coming to have a meet with them at Galilee. So the disciples went there to meet with Jesus again, waiting for him. But in the wait, they got distracted by going back into the fish. I believe that the Lord withheld the catch that night because he had a supreme encounter for them to happen in the morning, at dawn, when everything shifts and when everything changes, when darkness starts to fade and light begins to shine again to light the way into a new day. That's when Jesus turned up again to have an encounter with his followers, his disciples, with you and with me, to say, arise again, let the light that I place within you shine. Stop hiding it. Stop, you know, getting it under a bushel. But get it out, get it in the open. It's in you for a reason. It's in you to comfort you, to bring you hope, but it's in you and upon you for others. Amen? There is no accidents. There is no mistakes here. This is the kingdom. This is God at work in your life for the season that we are now stepping into in Jesus' name. Jesus says to him, hi, boys, you don't happen to have any fish, do you? Can you just hear him standing on the shore? Hi, boys. You don't happen to have any fish on board, do you? And the answer, of course, is no. So he says to them, cast your nets on the right side of the boat. Now, they maybe had cast their nets on the left side, but Jesus says, I know where the fish are, so go right. So Jesus gives instruction to his disciples about where the catch is and where they can hit it and strike it and bring in this large haul of fish. So they heard instruction. They received an instruction from Jesus Christ, even though they weren't really sure at that particular moment that that's who it really was. But they said yes to it, and they did as they were instructed. And wow, what happened? You know, what happens and what can God do with a night of failure in our lives when you think it's all over, when you think it's been boxed up, wrapped up, parceled and put on the shelf, and yet the Lord comes to the shore of your life and says, cast again, go once again, push in for another go. And so the Lord's calling you today to be the ones that press in, push in, and take the step of faith and believe that in this next move, in this next pressing in, that God shifts, that God brings the breakthrough that you're after, and God comes and wraps his arms around you and says, come on, let's walk together into this new season. This is where I've been leading you. This is why I've been training you. This is why it's been so long to get here, but now joy comes in the morning. Amen. And Jesus comes to you in the morning and says, at dawn, at dawn. This is an at dawn scenario. The ability to receive instruction is what we need. We need to hear it, and we need to be stirred up again today, even though you feel that you've washed out, you're burnt out, and you're low in energy, and it's like the little foxes have been eating and eating away at you, and you just think, you know what? I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to church. I'm just going to be an attender, but I don't want to step up to the mark again. And the Lord's saying to you this morning, put those thoughts behind you. That is the enemy that's trying to get to you, trying to needle you and trying to wear you out. But he's saying something different. He's saying this morning, it's at dawn. Lift your eyes up to him and see what lies in front of you and begin to step in to the plans and the purposes of God for your life. It takes a believing heart, an equipping heart to rise up. And that's why this morning we're speaking a message of hope. We're speaking a message of the word. It's the word that brings life. It's the spoken word that caused creation to come into being. It's the word of God. It is Jesus. And Jesus is speaking this morning to you. He's not done with you. He's not finished with you. Did he not promise you an abundant life?
Mm-hmm.
That has yet to be fulfilled. So God is in the plans and the purposes of your life. As much as he's in plans and purposes in my life, he is on the move, and he is about to do great things, great and mighty things. That he's got an abundance that we can't even dream about or think about that he is about to step us into in this season. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to listen. Somebody's unmuted themselves. Sorry about that. And so we want to look at this from a real positive perspective, because God is positive. He is not negative. Circumstances are negative. The enemy brings negativity, but God brings a positive encounter that leads you into a positive reaction to his heart, and your heart opens up like a flower, and you can't help yourself but say, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it is, wherever you're going, I'm going with you. It's that Isaiah 6, here am I, Lord, send me. And that your heart gets touched by the Spirit of God that is already in you, but it gets ignited by the presence of God when he comes in the room and he stirs up what is already there. And sometimes it's gone right down to a little flicker, but the Lord comes with an ignition on you today. Bam, come on. God is stirring you up. He's calling you out. Your time is not over. Your time is only just starting. And you've been in a process. Your process is moving into the new, and God is on your case. He is about to show you great and wonderful things. So we can never assume God's plans. We can never assume that it's over, because it's not over until God would physically tell us it's done and you have achieved what I've asked of you. Failure brings pain, but hope comes in the morning. This is it, folks. Failure brings pain. It's hard to walk through, but your hope comes in the morning. Your God has not finished with you. His life, his spirit is still in you. Even though you think that you can't find it, you can't tap into it, but it is there. It is in you. He placed it in you the minute you said yes to Jesus Christ, and you cannot avoid it. In fact, it says in the scripture that you need to stir up the gifts that are within you. So you need to do something. You need to step into what has been spoken over your life and begin to walk it out. Great provision comes when God turns up at your door, when God comes to your beach in the morning and said, at dawn. You know, he tells you what to do. He instructs you. And we say, yes, Lord. And we step into it. It's Jesus turning up that brings a solution and a provision for his vision. If he has spoken over your life and he is speaking again today, he said, do not fear, because he is going to bring provision for his vision. So you got to step into what it is God has spoken over you. You know, in the nighttime hours, these fishermen would have been reliant on the lights they had in their boat to help them negotiate a pathway to find fish. God held off the fish because he had a greater plan and a greater excitement to place upon these guys in the dawn time of the morning when he turns up on the shore, because he knows all things. How could the creator of the whole of the world not know where the fish are? Isaiah 45 and verse 3, I will give you the treasures of what? Darkness and the hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Zephaniah 3:17 says that the Lord sings over you. If he's singing over you, he knows your name. He's got your name written into his song, and he is singing it out over you. He is declaring what he is seeing over you, what he has dreamt about you, and what you're about to step into. So I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden wealth of the secret places. That which looks dark in the water and can't be seen, God knows it's there. God knows the correct season to bring it up and for the nets to catch what the Lord is bringing, his harvest time in this season that's coming upon us. Amen. Harvest time. Harvest time. There has always been a harvest ever since Jesus walked the streets. It's never stopped. Our thing is, do we get excited enough? Do we get stirred up enough? Have we heard the Lord enough to step into what he's speaking and to go and do the stuff? To take the baton of Jesus and run the race. So when we get there, we get a reward because we have heard the word of the Lord. We have risen into it and we've said, God, I believe. I don't see it, but I say I believe. It's your will. I say I believe. And so there's something in you that ignites the passion of the Lord, his presence when it walks. You know what it's like when the presence of the Lord falls into a room and it's so precious that all you want to do is fall flat on your face. You don't want to speak. You don't want to say anything. You just want to be in that moment because it is treasure to your heart and it moves your heart. So in verse 7 in chapter 21, it says that John recognized Jesus. So John said, it's Jesus on the shore. And what happens? Well, Peter, whoa, it's Jesus. Come on, we've gone fishing for the night. Come on. I'm getting my clothes on, jump in the water. I'm going to the shore because Jesus is there. So he's the impulsive one. He just jumps at the moment and he's in there without even thinking. He's in there. I love Peter's heart, his passion and his ability to get to Jesus as quick as he can go. Forget the fish. I want Jesus. That's all I want. I want to be around Jesus. And Peter just goes to the shore and the other disciples are rowing and pulling this large net of fish in towards the shore. This is a good time. And so in verse 9, and we see that there's a charcoal fire it speaks about that's already lit in preparation on the shore. Jesus once more has gone before. He has prepared the way. He has lit a fire and he's cooking on the shore. He's cooking fish and he's cooking bread in preparation to have a meal with his followers and to have fellowship and to chat with them and to say, guys, do you see it now? Do you see it? He says, bring me some fish. He didn't need the fish, because he's already cooking fish. But he wanted them to bring, to show and present to Jesus, the new catch, the new dawn fish, the ones that he had instructed them to go get. And he's saying, bring me some fish, because they're mine anyway. And you're stepping into the new season. He's the Son of God that made all things and knows all things. We get to operate because he delights in us. He is the revealers of all things that are being hidden. In this next season, things that have been hidden will come to the surface. They're going to be brought into the light of God, and that God is going to bless his bride, the church, with a new move, a new wave of his presence that ushers in an increase of his kingdom. Amen. Can you say hallelujah to that this morning? Because this is where you're at. This is where I'm at. And this season begins this morning, the 8th of the 8th. It's a new day. It's a new dawn. And verse 11, as Peter hauls in the catch, but the nets didn't break. Remember I said earlier about the nets that broke the first time they had the encounter with Jesus because of the weight of the catch? These nets didn't break. This is a new season. The nets that God are giving for this season don't break when we get a large haul, when we get a large catch of fish, when we see salvation that's going to flow out like a river, and there's going to be excitement in the camp and the testimony of Jesus. You will not want to wait to get to church the next Sunday so you can say, hey, I was out with Tommy the other morning and we were walking on the beach and this guy just happened to trip over, and as we got to him to help him get back up again, the Lord spoke so clearly, called him out, told him about his secrets, told him about his life, and the guy knew that this was God talking, says, what do I need to do to get saved? Mm-hmm. Come on, this is the season of encounters of God. It's a new day and a new dawn, so we want to be ready for it. And so there was 153 fish that was caught in that net. You know, so it's an amazing time. It's a miraculous provision because God was teaching them, Jesus was teaching them that as I spoke to you the first time around and you caught a large haul of fish, this is the start of a new season. You're catching a new haul of fish because I am blessing you with what you can sell to bring in provision for the mission. Amen. So it wasn't just a nice catch of fish. God was producing his wealth to them to help them establish and to go forth in the nations and take the gospel message, carrying the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that was in them for the encounters that lay ahead. Amen. So in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, let's turn to that just quickly. Luke chapter 5. I'll get there in a second. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Again, this is the first instructional word. Verse 5, Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. Sound familiar? God's reminding, like he has and he is, with the words that have been spoken over our lives. He's bringing back to remembrance. And then verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. What they had brought their boats, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. John 21 is about God bringing back to remembrance what had already taken place when he was physically with them. He was bringing back, restirring their spirit that was in the men when their hearts leapt. You know, when they walked to Emmaus, it says that their hearts leapt when they you know, as they walked with a stranger, as they thought, and yet their hearts were burning inside because Jesus was on them. He was by them. He was leading them. And so we are entering into that new station, So that is a new season that we're stepping into. So that was a recall to the call. The first was the call in Luke. John 21 is the recall, the remembering, and the stepping back into the plans and purposes that God has for your life. And verse 12 says that, come have breakfast. So in verse 13, Jesus, you know, doesn't say, here you are, guys, get on with it. No, he actually serves them. He actually sits down with them. He has bread made, fish made. He has a meal, a ready-made meal on the shore to bless them after a tired night of what they thought was failure, which stepped into a turnaround scenario of the blessings and favors of God. And you know that as much as failure can wear you out, so can the times when the anointing comes and when the presence of God comes around you. There's like this Holy Ghost tiredness that can be on you, and afterwards you just want to revel in it, but you need rest. And so Jesus brings them on shore and he feeds them, replenishes them, and restores them back to the Great Commission to go into all the nations of the world, preach the gospel, win souls, raise the dead, heal the lepers. You know, it is the commission that's on you. So Jesus again blesses them with the meal after the labored night. Jesus, he changed everything in a night, in a morning. Jesus, he gave instruction that changed everything. Jesus, he blessed them with provision for the future, but also with a meal. He fed them and he fulfilled his word to them. He did turn up, as he said to Mary Magdalene, tell them to go to Galilee and I'll meet them there. So you can be guaranteed 100% that when God speaks to you, he will fulfill his word, because the Bible says that the word of the Lord does not return void. It always accomplishes that which it has been sent to do. So take hope in that today, because in this new dawn, in this new season, the word of the Lord springs to life inside you like a river that gets ignited, like a geyser that gushes out of you, because it's in you, not just for you to have a little bless me, which is brilliant, but it's in you because it's got to come out of you and touch others around you. It's got to impact the world around you that you walk in, that you live in. You are not this nice little tidy Christian and you sit at home and praise Jesus, hallelujah, I've got the word, and I can go to church on Sunday, and I can say hi to people, but I come back home, and I stay in the house, and that's where I'm safe. I know Jesus has got me, his peace is around me, and I've got his word. That was never the design. That was never the design. You are called, you are appointed, and you are anointed to be like the disciples in the early time, to get refired, restored, and go out there, because it's harvest time. It's harvest time, breakthrough time, new seasons, new beginnings, and a new treasures to be found in the hidden places and in the places where it's most visible. Amen. So 1 John 4 and verse 4, you are from God, little children. Who's a little child today? I'm a little child, and I say yes to Jesus. And he says, little children, you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? So these are scriptures to give you hope this morning, to give you a future, to give you a purpose. God is not finished with you. In fact, he is coming today to reaffirm you, refresh you, and say, it's time, it's time. Get ready, get ready. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, it says there that, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can't say you don't know, because you felt the presence of God touch your physical body. You've never been the same since. And 1 John chapter 2 again, verse 27, and as for you, the anointing which you received from him remains in you. It's still there. We may have changed a little bit, but the anointing that God blessed you with is still in you, and it's getting restored, refired today in Jesus' name. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, glory carriers. This is a new season, a new day. And we got to get excited about our Jesus, get excited about the Holy Spirit that's in us, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We are victorious because of the power that has been placed inside us. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, what? Dwells in who? You. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You tap into this river that God has placed inside you. You tap into it. It brings health to your bones. It brings strength to your bones. It actually banishes sickness from your body. Why? Because you're stepping into the river of God, where the healing river flows from the throne room. You cannot help but being blessed by the God that says there is an abundance that he wants to pour out upon your life because he's in you to do you good. So you get to share it with others and others come into relationship with the Father. This is so good. John 14 and verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I'm going to the Father. Okay, it's a done deal. I'm going to the Father. I'm passing the baton onto you guys. And it's in you. You cannot avoid it because I have blessed you with it because I've got a purpose. What is the purpose? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. My meat is to do the will of the Father and to see it accomplished. And when Jesus went to be with his Father, he handed the task to us. He said, here you go, guys. You're the disciples. I'm meeting you on the new dawn, the dawn of the day, as you step in, and I'm providing you with provision for the vision because the vision hasn't ended yet. There is still a mass army of people to come into relationship with Jesus Christ, to find the lover of their soul and to know what it is to be excited, to know what it is to have the presence of the Lord fall upon them that shifts and changes everything in an instant. You know, so we sing it, just one thought from the King. That's not the words, but you know what it, just one touch from the King. It changes everything. We sing it, but have we believed it? Have we stepped into it? I'm calling you today. I'm calling you out of your stuff and saying, it's there on you. It's there for you. He has provided it. The only thing that's stopping you is you. And up here, the battle's in your mind. But the Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2, it says, it speaks about the renewing of your mind. You have to step in. You have got a responsibility as now one that's called a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. You step into his kingdom. His kingdom came into you. It's a light inside you that you cannot snuff out. The only thing you could do is bless yourself and step into it with a greater capacity and believe God that he is about to take you in to a new season, a new day that's going to be explosive, that breakthroughs are going to happen. You're going to see the signs, wonders, and miracles that he promised. Remember, when he speaks something, he fulfills it. He promised over you that you would walk in the glory of God and what you carry would infect others and that greater works you would do than what Jesus did. Amen? So he is giving us permission. He is saying yes. And all he is saying, will you rise into it? Will you awaken at the dawn of the day and say, okay, Jesus, here I am. Take me. Do you know that you are the modern day outworking of the continuance, because it hasn't stopped, of the book of Acts? Read the book of Acts. See what those guys get up to, because it's still happening. And we just need to believe, tap into it, and see what God has in store for us. Amen. It's the new dawn. It's the new day. It's the 8th of the 8th, 2021. And God is on the move. He's on the move in your heart right now. So as we close, I just bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Fire just fall on you right now. The fire of God, let his presence fall right down. Everyone that's behind a screen today, that you sense and feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit just rising up inside of you, bubbling up, ready to ignite and to bubble out of you like never before, that this new dawn, this new day, and the new catch that lies in front of us is in Jesus' plan. He has spoken it, and we get to step into it because the signs and the wonders follow those who believe. I believe. Do you believe today? Will you say yes today to Jesus? Will you shout it out and say, yes, Jesus, here I am, send me. And so that's what he requires of us. He has given so much to us, but he requires this one thing, that our heart is fully open to him and his ways. Mm. The ways of us, only lead to a night of fishing without catching anything. The ways of Jesus, we step into the glory realms. We step into the provision of God. We step into what he has planned for us in our lives. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting season. And the glory, may it fall upon you everywhere, even on Facebook today, those that are watching. I say, let the fire of God just hit you right now and stir you up for what is in you to burst out of you and come forth like a river. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. God gave you the gift. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to use a gift. Don't box it and keep it on the shelf. It's been given to you to change your life so you in turn change others. Freely you've been given, freely give to others. That's the plans and purposes of God. Are you ready to step into the new today? Thank you, Jesus. We just bless you all. We're going off Facebook Live here, but you know what? This doesn't end by this message today. This doesn't end because we're finishing off here. What you've heard in your ears today, what you've witnessed with your eyes, what you've felt in your heart, don't lose it. Don't walk away from it. Remember, remember the words have been spoken over you, either by prophetic words or through the word of God opened up before you as you read it. He never misses his mark. So step in to the realms of glory that Jesus has for you and don't miss the mark. Amen. Sharon has a word of knowledge here. So just before we go off.
Hi, guys. I just have a word of knowledge that there is a woman that is watching online today that has an infected right breast. It's actually infected so badly that it's oozing. And I felt the Lord has sent you today to not fear. Don't be scared. Get to the doctor, that there's healing for you today, that this is not the end for you.
Amen.
That this is God actually pinpointing you out to say to you today that he loves you with an everlasting love and that his sacrifice was sufficient for what you're walking through right now. So I really feel that the Lord wants to heal you, but I hear him say, tell her to go to the doctor, tell her to go and get checked. But healing is her portion. So we declare that over you, one woman, wherever you're sitting right now, wherever you're watching from right now, we declare the healing over you. We break the power of this infection over your body in the name of Jesus. We command that infection to stop right now. And we release, I release healing into your body right now. And I just say to you to receive. Receive your healing this morning. Receive your healing this morning. Receive that love of God this morning on your life. Receive, receive, receive.
Yeah.
And another woman, I believe, has a large cyst on her left ovary. And again, I just declare healing over you this morning. We command that cyst to dissipate, to shrink, to shrivel, and to go in the name of Jesus, that this cyst has no place, no portion in your life. And we just say to you today, just receive your healing. Receive it in Jesus' name. When God points out a word, when God gives a word of knowledge, it means that he wants to do something. It means that he sees it now and he wants to activate healing now. So we just declare that over you, that cyst to go in the name of Jesus. And we just say, receive your healing. Put your hand on your body and receive your healing in Jesus' name.
Yeah, and I also see there's a man out there by the name George. And George, you've been in this valley of a pit. You've been in deep depression and you've been struggling, just like Joseph would have been in the pit, where he would have been struggling to have seen the top and struggling to see the way out and thinking, is there ever going to be a way out? In fact, some dark thoughts have come upon you. And the Lord says to you today that you have hope, that he placed hope within you, and that today your day shifts and your day changes. And this depression, this is an affliction of the enemy upon your mind to destroy you and distract you from the purposes and plans of God for your life, George. George, be whole, be well, and be completely set free in the name of Jesus Christ today. Everything that's affecting your mind, we just lift that off you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we speak the freedom of the Lord over you in Jesus' name.
Come on.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.